This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to this Thanksgiving edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. I'm your host, Jim Cromer. Sitting in studio all by my lonesome today. Coming in Monday after a Cowboy loss was too much for Steve to bear. Just kidding, actually. He's on dad duty today with kids being off school. So I'm going to go right away to my cohort in crime on the m4byyachty.com hotline all the way from Arizona, a man that has a lot to be thankful for and does a great job of reminding us as much. Benji Molina, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, guys? Hey, happy Thanksgiving to all our fans and people that are not our fans, too. So happy Thanksgiving to the whole office, you know, happy Thanksgiving to the world, man. It's like I take it very serious. I give thanks every day for every single thing that I have that I've been going through. Or whatever, or what's coming next. I mean, I always give thanks, so this is not just different for me, you know.
Yeah, you know, you are so gracious with your time and energy when it comes to that. You were just on another show here at lineupmedia.fm, Kicking Life with Rich Grogan. He's a positive guy that tries to do a lot of good in the world. You know, he's an anti-bully guy. He's a confidence guy, trying to help kids that need help, trying to help anybody. You were able to go on his show, and I can't think of two guys that are more positive and more giving of their time to try to help others than you and he both, just through your own experiences and just trying to share and be a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem. That had to be a lot of fun for you being on there with him.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. That was really, really cool to hear that another person just like you, just trying to feed up the world with some positive out there after all those negatives that keep happening in the world. We know and we understand that we cannot change the world. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to change maybe a life, maybe two lives, maybe two kids that were going to go and do something bad. Maybe they hear us and they change their mind. That's our goal, you know, at least touch one heart out of the whole world and probably, hopefully, everybody else do their part and we can help more people, you know. So that's a great thing. That was a great show.
Well, you did a great job. I encourage people to check that one out. That's another good podcast at lineupmedia.fm. Kicking Life, if you ever need a good thought, if you feel like the world's against you, check it out. It's a really good podcast. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining Two Birds on a Bat and remind you that the show's brought to you by Innovative Construction. You guys were able to meet the wonderful Green family, Randy and his talented daughter, Stephanie. They jumped on board here, and we just want to remind you to give them an opportunity for your business. InnovatedCompanies.com. Innovative Construction, they take care of new construction, obviously. Project planning, consulting. They do residential, commercial, and industrial. They're really active in a lot of design build projects. Basically, the Innovative Companies have put together all the different companies that are necessary to help you with your building out, and it's one-stop shop for you. So give them an opportunity for your business, InnovatedCompanies.com. We're going to hear more about those companies as we go throughout the show, as all their companies are involved now, and we're happy to have them on. I want to remind everybody to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. It's our website. It's where you can listen to the show and subscribe. You can also do your Christmas shopping by hitting the Amazon banner down to the right. You will not cost anything extra for you. You'll get to do your shopping. You're done with us after you click the banner. We get a very small referral to help us with production costs. thank you for that opportunity as well. Find us on our social media pages. Simply type in at Birds on a Bat Show for Twitter, like our Twitter page. Our big ask of you is to find us on Facebook. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our Facebook page, and then click invite your friends. If you'd invite all your Cardinal friends to like our page, we would greatly appreciate that. You can find us on Instagram as well by typing in Two Birds on a Bat Show. And again, we've created the new Facebook group, Birds on a Bat. And speaking of Facebook groups, we could not have the show growing at the rate that it's growing without our great Facebook partners. And again, it all started with Chris Lawless. He's been with us since day one. Cardinal Nation, Cardinals 24/7. He does such a great job. I know all the people love what he does for Cardinal Nation, and we appreciate him very much. And we want to tell him and all of our great partners Happy Thanksgiving. That includes our friend out in Colorado who does the RallySquirrel.com Facebook page, and we're happy to be a part of the Rally Squirrel Club with him. Make sure you check that out at RallySquirrel.com. Be a member of the club. Receive the premium content podcast along with the opportunity for all the great prizes at Fan Cave Sports. You know, again, Art City Sports, Mick Light does a great job sharing our stuff. Thank you to him for jumping on board. Cardinal Freaks, always been with us. St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite, happy to be associated with all those great Facebook pages. You heard me mention lineupmedia.fm. They're the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. Give them an opportunity for your podcast time. Theme of the show today, Benji, we're going to have a little fun today. We'll have Moe's Algorithm, Bow Ties and Sweaters, where analytics meet the eye test, coming up here real soon. But, you know, we've obviously beaten the dead horse with Stanton. You know, we want. I'm going to take a minute here to get a little corny and tell you that while I want the Cardinals to always win, while I want them to do this, something that struck me really interesting, and I thought it was great, was a tweet, and I tweeted it out because, you know, a lot of people are going back and forth on this, and they say, well, you know, I don't want to give up all my prospects, and I heard a guy say that prospects are cool, but parades are better. And one of our listeners, and I believe it was William Bernard at Wilski Walker Bree, he tweeted at me another one that I like a lot, flags fly forever. I thought that was pretty cool, and it made me think about just how lucky we are to have the world championships, and 11 world championships. I mean, there's some franchises that, you know, look at the great Cubs, you know, with their three. It just makes me really happy to know that we have an organization that over the years has found a way to bring us winning baseball in St. Louis. And while we expect to win every year, and we want our team to be perfect, and we want our team to give us to have an opportunity, I'm pretty thankful. And while I'm no different than everybody else, and I want, I'm going to be really thankful that I think that we have one of the best franchises in baseball here in St. Louis.
I bet you that everybody's thinking the same way with you. They should be. They should be as a fan. They should be really, really thankful that they're in St. Louis. They could have been part of many, many losing seasons on other teams and how do you call those? GMs and owners that don't give a crap about the fans. For example, Miami a couple of times where they just empty the house without thinking about the fans. You know what I'm saying? So the fans in St. Louis understand how lucky they are, man. And these people that have been in the office for many years, they want to put a team out there that is saying thank you to the fans, you know, because the fans are great over there. So you guys should feel, all of you should feel very, very thankful to have a team like that. You know, a lot of most of the teams win 1 year, but they go 9 years without even touching a playoff. And then all of a sudden they win 1 year. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah,
it's really crazy. In St. Louis, you're always going to have a winning season. You're always going to have a fight for the playoff. You should be thankful.
Yeah, you know, I think back to some of the great memories over the years. I mean, I've mentioned it on the show before that I felt so lucky to be a part of some great moments. I mean, I remember being a kid and, I kind of fell in love with the Cardinals at about the time Lou Brock was breaking the stolen base record. My grandpa was taking me to games, and I was listening to games on the radio with my dad and my grandpa. And I think back to all the – I mean, I think about the players that I've seen in my lifetime. And then becoming a more influenced kid or an older kid and going through the 80s with Whitey Ball, and it seemed like every game. You could count on Ozzie Smith. I felt like Ozzie Smith made a diving play or a great play every game. That's what it felt like to me, and it probably felt that way to a lot of fans. And mostly,
well, you're talking a Hall of Famer, Jimbo.
That's right, and that's what I mean. We've had them. I always say to people, do you think it's like this in every town? And maybe every town does have their own little thing that they do, but man, you know, obviously the Yankees can parade out this and championships and Hall of Famers, but it's not that way everywhere, folks. It's really not.
No, it's not, man. I mean, look at Anaheim. Look at Tampa. They went to the worst years. Have they ever touched a playoff again? No. You can look at Chicago even. They've been in the playoff once, and then all of a sudden they got this young team. They won it. But how long has it been since they've been out of the playoff? I mean, and St. Louis to be in the playoff. I mean, I think at one point, weren't we like 8 years in a row in the playoff or something like that when I was there? I think it was 7 or 8 years in a row being in the playoff. That's crazy, man. That's really, really tough to do.
I mean, winning becomes something that I think people expect, but it's hard. I don't care how good you are. You still got to play the games. And, again, I just think back to all the times, all the things that I've saw. I mean, I, again, went through the 80s and the World Series, and even though, you know, we probably should have won at least two of the three, you know, I think back to being, you know, 18 years old and – In the stands at Busch Stadium when the Cardinals came home down 0-2 from Minnesota, and our friend Fish, I've told the story before, our friend Fish makes friends with like a 70-something-year-old guy that writes for the Minnesota paper, and in the standing room only section, and the guy loved Fish like everybody does. If you're around a Cardinal event and you're with Fish, you just love him. And the guy looks at him and says, you know, the Cardinals actually, they score a couple runs that game and the place is going crazy. And the guy looks at Fish and says, I think you're one of the greatest fans I've ever met. I'm going to quote you in the Minnesota, I think was it the Tribune or something or whatever it is. I'm going to quote you in the paper tomorrow. What do you want to say to all the fans? And he looked at him and said, I'm going to tell you this. You guys might win the World Series, but you won't win one game here at Busch Stadium. And so when the guy wrote that down, he looked at him and said, that's a pretty bold statement. He goes, well, you can bank it because you ain't winning one game here. Now, they didn't win, and it was a pretty cool story. But I think back to just being a part. I mean, I stood right next to him while this happened, and then I go into my adult life, and I like the Cardinals. They go through a rough patch, so I live through that. And then it seems like Tony La Russa comes to town, and the franchise gets reinvigorated, and they invest, and they do this stuff. Mark McGwire comes to town. That's about the time I go to work for Anheuser-Busch. Next thing you know, I'm at Busch Stadium all the time. I'm taking customers. I'm in the suite. I'm in green seats. I watch McGwire hit all these home runs. Jim Edmonds comes to town. Scott Rowland. All of a sudden, these guys that seem to have eluded us are coming to town, and we're putting together this stuff. I'm in right field when Jim Edmonds makes the catch against Houston to send us to the World Series. I mean, I see all these. I'm in the night before, I'm there when he hits the home run to send us to Game 7. And then don't even get me started. I got goosebumps thinking about 11, where I was when David Freese tied the game and then hit the home run, and I literally felt the stadium shake and saw the light towers move. And then the next night, Chris Carpenter goes out and says, you're not beating me tonight, not here. It just, again, I know things lately have not, the last couple of years have been rough, but I'm not going to forget about a lifetime of memories, and I'm not going to just hate on them just to hate on them. And while I know I get on some of our fans a little bit about that, I got to be honest with you, that's kind of what it feels like. And while it's your right to say whatever you want to say and be a fan, I get it. I just think sometimes you got to grow up a little bit and say, man, I've had a lot of great memories here. And if you really feel like you haven't had a lot of great memories, I don't know what you're watching. If you want to just go off the last couple years, well then, okay. But, man, I've seen some great stuff over the years.
Yeah, you guys, as fans, man, like I said before, you should be thankful every day. When you wake up, you thank God and you thank the Cardinals and then go to work. Because what you guys have there is so freaking special, man. I tell you, I grew up in Puerto Rico. We don't have no team, but I wish. I always say this. I don't know. I mean, it's not new for me. But I always said that if I ever had to cheer up for a team, I would have loved to cheer up for the Cardinals all my life. But you know, yesterday I went up to YouTube and I found Cardinal highlights. right? And through the years, obviously, not only a couple of years, but through the years, Cardinal highlights, man, it gets your hair up really fast, man, to see Bob Gibson going at it, to see that team that fight the Giants, to see that those teams when McGuire was hitting that, like you were saying. I mean, that's a lot of history, man. So you should be thankful for that. A lot of fans should be thankful for that, even if they don't do anything in the offseason, which we all want. But even if they don't do anything, we still need to be thankful. Like I said, last two years have been really tough to cheer for the Cardinals because, you know, they've been so inconsistent and we don't have the guys that you just mentioned. So we got to be realistic. So, but even though like that, I still going to cheer for them, you know, because I love the Cardinals. So we all should feel that way, and we all should be thankful, man.
Well, I wish I was thankful that the Cardinals had already acquired Giancarlo Stanton. It doesn't look like it's going to happen before Turkey Day, if it happens at all. I know there's a lot of chatter about it, and fans are starting to get disgruntled and get discouraged, and, you know, there's reports that come out of here and reports that come out of there. And, you know, at the end of the day, if they get him, they get him, and if they don't, I've said all along that while I'm all in on him, I also know he's not the only fish in the sea, although he's an awful big fish. I will judge.
Yeah, wait, Jimbo, hold on 1 second, buddy. Even if we don't get Stanton, there's many, plenty players that can make our team really good in this next year coming up. So we still have a couple of players. Even if Stanton doesn't even make it to St. Louis, the hell with Stanton. Now we got to move to Eric Hosmer. Now we got to move to Mustaka. Now we got to move to a bunch of other kids that could make by a trade, they can make our team better. We got to fix up our bullpen. We got to get at least one more arm in the starting rotation, things like that. And then I'll go to war without Stanton. Heck with Stanton if he doesn't want to come over or if we can get him, right?
Yep.
So we still got a lot of people out there that we can make our team way better than it was last year.
Yeah, for sure. And where I was going with this is very simple. Personally, I want him. Absolutely, I want him. Who doesn't want him? Well, there are some people that don't want him. They think it's a bad deal. Whatever. You're entitled to that opinion. But I want him, and I'm all in on him. But at the end of the day, as a Cardinal fan, what I want most is I want my team to be better, and I want the front office to be as dedicated to making it better as I am to being a fan. If I feel like they gave a good effort, then I'll be okay with it. Now, a lot of people are reminding me and reminding everybody that's all giddy about this that they failed before, and that's fine. Again, I'm with you. Let's see what happens here. Ultimately, I will judge the Cardinals how they do in the end. I won't judge them based off how this goes for this moment because there's a lot of things at play. There's always going to be speculation. There's going to be rumor. Until we know for sure how everything goes down, I don't hold anybody any more accountable than I do anybody else. Now, that being said, okay, we'll figure it out. But I do expect them to get better. Now, how that happens, it could be a thousand ways. We've covered a lot of them. One of the things you mentioned, and rightfully so, is Eric Hosmer. Now, I want to tell a lot of our fans, because we heard from a lot of you, we started a new segment last week with a great guy that does a lot of the analytical breakdown of baseball. He loves it. He's very good at it. We knew we wanted to address that because on this show, we come across as bashing it, which maybe we do, and that's fine too. But the reality of it is we knew that that was something that fans really are into. So I wanted to get the right guy to do it. It didn't need to be somebody that would come on here and be combative about it, but we don't need to be combative either. I think last week for our first segment with Mo's Algorithm, it sounded that way, and it's not what it was meant to be. So we told you that we are going to try to do a better job. So we're going to go to Mo's here in just a second. What I want to tell everybody is we're going to basically try to talk about the same thing we talked about last week, and it's because it applies, and I think Benji brought it up. I believe... And again, it's only what I believe, and I think Hosmer is probably a really logical choice for the Cardinals if they don't get Stanton. So that being said, I know a lot of people were minorly upset that they didn't get to hear more of Mo's opinion on why Hosmer would be good or be bad. So we're going to go back to that this week. What I also asked him to do, because Benji did have some questions, as do I don't want to just, like, we originally were going to just talk about one category. Well, no, I want to know up and down with all these analytics, what they say about Hosmer as a player. So I think Mose is going to have that for us today. So we're going to bring him in now on the Celebrity Hotline, the M4byYachty.com hotline. Let's go now to Mose Algorithm. Hello, Mose. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm excited. Something that's got me interested is that, you know, again, we're going to address Eric Hosmer this week, and we're going to try to go a little more in depth. I know you and I talked off air. Interesting that here we are again. We're really going to try to break down Hosmer this week. And I know we were looking at a comparison between he and Carpenter a little bit last week. Like, is he better? Would he be an upgrade? How does that all fit into it? And that's really, at the end of the day, we can look at the analytical side, but the analytical side even has repercussions across the board. One of those being that if you went and got Hosmer, what are you going to do with Carpenter? How does that affect this defensively? All these things that go into it. So oddly enough, I had asked you, okay, well, let's do this, because I know this was one of Benji's questions. It was one of my questions. Okay, so WRC might tell you this, but what about all the other things? So I asked you to kind of look at it a little more in depth with all the analytics that are available to us so that we could see what he would be analytically compared. Would he be an upgrade? Would it be, you know, I'm at this juncture too. I want to say this. I don't even know that I care about how he compares to Carpenter. I think that's easy to do because that's who he would be displacing at first base, and then we have to think about where would Carpenter go. So I understand the logical thing there. I'm kind of on board with Benji where if Hosmer's a really good player and he can help us, then how is that a negative? So that's what interests me. Now, I'm going to say this out loud, and this is what I think is great before we get started. You've kind of changed your opinion, like in the matter of 7 days, about whether or not Hosmer can help the Cardinals, which I think is interesting. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you, and I want you to start with, I want you to tell us about Hosmer as a player analytically up and down.
Okay. So Eric Hosmer himself as a hitter, we've kind of gone over, you know, over the last 3 years, he's averaged a 120 weighted runs created plus. That's 20% above league average. That's a decent hitter. The biggest issue that is coming up with Eric Hosmer when it comes to him as a hitter is his 55% career ground ball rate. That ground ball rate is going to catch up to him as he ages. He won't be able to beat out those infield hits anymore. So he's going to have to start lifting the ball more, which is something that Matt Carpenter did as he got older. He's lifted the ball more, and his line drive rate's actually gone up too. So I don't know if the Cardinals have a different philosophy than the Royals, but maybe that's an area where Hosmer could improve by lifting the ball a little more, because he does hit the ball hard. So that would be helpful. Defensively, guys, I know he's won Gold Gloves, but based on the metrics, I don't know how. This year, at first base, he raked below average. He was a negative 0.3 UZR. UZR is a form of defensive runs saved that Fangraphs uses. They get their information from Baseball Info Solutions, which is what the majority of the teams use in regards to statistics. Now, it is compiled by human scorers, so there could be some human error in there. But zero is considered average. A negative five is considered below average. So he's sitting somewhere between average and below average. Matt Carpenter, for instance, at first base this year was negative 0.6. So you can see there's not a huge difference in their ability at first base, statistically speaking. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, like the eye test could show Hosmer picks more balls than Carpenter or Hosmer has more range, but based on this, Hosmer and Carpenter's range appears to be pretty similar at first base, it is. Base running, it's not close. Eric Hosmer is considered one of the best base running first basemen in baseball, so that would be an improvement. The most important area of improvement I could see Hosmer helping the Cardinals is the fact that he doesn't have to bat leadoff. We have enough data on Matt Carpenter that shows that he has to bat leadoff. I don't care what he says. He can say it's not in his head. He can say it's a mechanical thing, and he was close anyway before he got moved back to leadoff. The data shows that when he can only be a successful hitter batting leadoff, so it's got to be something. Eric Hosmer's proven that he can anchor a three-hole for a world championship team. So I'm not the biggest Eric Hosmer fan. I don't think he's the best first base option the Cardinals could get. But I do think if they use Jerko and Carpenter the right ways at third base, and let Carpenter play some days at second, I think there's a way that Hosmer could enter into their lineup and improve them in certain areas.
Okay, well, that's a great start. I've got a couple of questions that I wrote down. Benji, do you have a question that maybe you'd like to ask Mo first?
I got many of them, but I don't know if I can cover them all. What you were saying about Gold Glove, the range is what's more important in this case. Let me tell you an example. Why the heck Ben Sobrist? It's in the three finalists, and Javi Baez or whoever else. I just say Javi Baez because I think he's really awesome at second base. I think he covers so much ground, and that's the reason why I said Javi. I mean, it could be anybody, but why? Because Ben Sobrist can cover 3 feet to the right, 3 feet to the left, right? So he got obviously 90% of a chance to make less errors. Well, Javi Baez cover you 10, 15 feet to the right and 20 feet to the left, for example. I don't know how much it is for real, but I'm just saying to you as an example. And then all of a sudden, yes, he has 90 or 80% more chances to make more errors. But the way they're doing this Gold Glove is so unfair, so stupid in my head, because they're saying that Ben Sobrist should be a finalist, and a guy that covers ground, that is helping the team in more plays, he's making more outs to the right, he's making more outs to the left, instead of being a base hit that becomes a run, maybe, who knows. Or something like that. I know you understand what I'm saying. So the thing is, for me, how in the world are we going to just go by numbers and say Carpenter, it's a better first baseman or equal first baseman than this guy, when this guy has shown to everybody that he can cover way more ground than Carpenter in first base. So that alone should tell us that he's a better first baseman. Let's go to the hitting. Like you said, he's a third batter. But if you see, I'll give you the even in hitting. I'll give you that one. But who's going to help me more as a team, Hosmer or Carp? Think about it really hard. Think about how good a base runner he is, that he takes advantage of all that. Think about how he's going to be a third hitter. You mentioned it. Carp is successful at leading off. Leading off, what is he going to do when he gets a base hit? Sit at first for three outs or something like that? You know what I'm saying? I'm just giving you an example. Or how is he going to help us, or Hosmer's going to help us? So Carp is not a leadoff guy. He's more successful hitting leadoff. That's a thought that the Cardinals have to think about. But for me to compare these two guys is really unfair just by numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. No, I understand. And that's where I would really love to see some actual, video of both of them playing first base. I would be curious, how they have some StatCast data, videos, and stuff like that. I'd be interested to watch that and just see how those two react at first base and what kind of ground they can cover, kind of in some side-by-side video. I think that would be really interesting.
Or how many picks does Carp does at first base? How many times Hosmer has picked a ball from a shortstop, from third base, from second base, that is an error if Carp is playing? Or something like that, you know, like an example. Well, I don't want people to think that I'm dogging Carp. I mean, I love Carp. I know how good a hitter he is. I love that guy hitting. But we have to be honest, right? And what else does he do to us?
I want to.
If you can find other things that he can do, you can tell me.
Okay, I want to follow up on Benji's thoughts by asking you some specific questions about it, just for myself, for Benji, and for the fans, because I know you'll be able to explain this to us, Mo. So Benji brought up the two things, and we're thinking alike here. I wrote these down. So, is it I mean, I guess, is it a fact? Are you telling us that a first baseman's ability to pick the ball out of the dirt is not taken into account in their defensive metrics?
No, it is. It's based on plays made. So it's included in their UZR.
But how – okay, so you're going to have to explain to me, though, how him catching a ball thrown to him is any – is the only way I can see that then is that he made the play. No different than if somebody throws him the ball and he catches it. Would that be accurate?
Yes.
Okay. So again, so while yes, he made the play, we all know that picking a ball out of the dirt is not easy. So it is a lot harder than just catching a ball that's thrown to him.
Sure. Yep.
Okay. So that I would say, to be completely honest with you, from my end, that's a downside to the stat because there is really no way to know how many balls he picked versus how many balls he didn't pick. Would that be accurate?
Sure.
Okay, so that's the one thing. That's good to know. Number two, Benji brings up range and how important it is, and obviously range at any position. I don't care what position you play. Range is very important if you have it, of course. I know that they try to measure range somewhat. How do they do that?
So the example that Fangraphs gives, hold on here, I can give it to you, with how they compute this is, so like it takes the average left fielder, if he makes a play 40% of the time on a ball in question, and that batted ball based on location, speed, et cetera, is worth 0.8 runs on average, fielding it cleanly earns you a 0.48 run towards your UZR. So it's just 0.8 times 0.6. It's a little more nuanced than that, but it does give like a high level overview. Like I said, this is done with human eyes. So the human eye determines, you know, whether or not he should have made that play. And then based it on how many runs that play would have cost the team on average, and they multiply that together, and that's how they come up with their UZR. So as with all statistics, they're not perfect, but defensive statistics are the hardest for them to come up with.
And that's kind of where I was going, because to follow up on that, so for instance, there's a guy sitting there that when a ball comes off the bat, he's looking to where it's hit, he's looking at his – I mean, there are other factors that go into it. There's so
Can
many
I say
things.
Something?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
So for me, these awards have told me this year is that for me, I wish my team sucks. If I'm a catcher, I wish my team sucks and they end up in last, so I can have more chances in assist or whatever, you know, whatever. And I can have more chances and I can win a gold glove, right? You know, things like that. Or I wish that Javi Baez can only catches the 3 feet to the left, the 3 feet to the right, and whenever he sees a 10-foot ball, just give up. Just don't even try it. Just let it go for a hit because it'll count on your numbers. If you catch it and throw it or throw it away or try to make a play that the other guy didn't do it, can do it, actually. And so that's what he's telling me these days. It's like, okay, if I see a 10-foot ball right to my left, I'm going to let it go. Man, the hell with that. And I'm not going to get an error. All of a sudden, I finished my year with these guys in numbers. I finished my year with one error. Yeah, I could do that. I could finish. If you put Javi Baez in Zobrist's feet, that the same range, Javi Baez probably don't make no errors. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to get to, that it's really unfair the way they're trying to do all these things. Numbers-wise, there's no way you can add the numbers. Yeah, I'm not against the numbers. You can add the numbers, but you got to be really, really realistic in this case. Because how about the Silver Slugger? And we had a discussion last time. I saw the numbers of Real Muto. Is that his name?
Yep, JT mm-hmm. Real Muto.
Mm-hmm. Real Muto.
Mm-hmm.
So why the heck did they take the Silver Slugger award from him then? Because, buddy, Buster Posey had 9 home runs as a catcher, 40 RBIs as a catcher. He hit .318 as a catcher. Now, you tell me Contreras, Real Muto, and Yadi had double their numbers, and you tell me what numbers told them that he should have won the Silver Slugger. I don't get it, man. I really don't. I know you're bringing up the numbers that they see it, but these guys are probably not even baseball people because they're not seeing the whole point. They're not seeing how many times the Yadi got the RBI or Contreras, when they're behind in the eighth, came out and hit a home run to tie the game. They're not looking at any of that, buddy. They're just looking at numbers from the house and the computer when they haven't even watched the whole freaking season. That's what I'm getting really disappointed at MLB, man. I'm really, really close to not watching any games anymore just because it's so unfair. And not to Yadi. I'm not talking about Yadi. I'm talking about Real Muto or whatever his name is or guys like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mo, you want to elaborate on your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so with those awards, only 25% of the vote comes from statistics, from actual analytics, sabermetrics. The rest of the vote comes from players, coaches, and managers. So, unfortunately, a lot of it is a popularity contest, and that's why guys like Buster Posey win that award.
Well, I was going to say, I had a conversation with somebody about this, and yes, so a portion of the awards now are gone towards analytics, which I guess they put that in a while back to try to curb the popularity vote. But the problem is, I think it's like anything else. I think if you were to ask a lot of guys realistically, how much do they really see them? So what are they going to do? They know who the guys that can hit are. And so I think they would be lying to you if they didn't say, yeah, you know, I know Buster Posey's a really good offensive catcher. Man, he hit 318 and hit all these home runs and did all this stuff. I would be willing to bet you that some of the guys that voted for Buster Posey couldn't tell you how many games he played at first and how many games he caught. I'd be willing to bet you that. I'm just guessing.
I would agree with that. How about Palmeiro, guys?
Yeah.
Palmeiro won the Gold Glove with playing 13 games at first base.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are issues. You know, what's funny is I go back to the 80s when I can't say the exact years, but I mean that was my time frame where I was really getting into it. I remember Ryan Sandberg winning Gold Gloves and thinking this guy cannot go more than 3 feet to his left or right, and he's winning Gold Gloves. I don't understand it. And that was a long time ago. That was a long time ago. So yeah, popularity contest for sure. So let me ask you this, Mose, to kind of follow up on the Hosmer thing. You kind of said that you've changed your thoughts and you are, if the Cardinals were to not get Stanton, you would be okay with Hosmer. You think he has the upside and some numbers that show you that if he's to lift the ball more, he would be more successful. So I guess every action has a reaction, so to speak. So my only issue with Hosmer is that, and I think a lot of people's issue would be, that's fine. I think a lot of people like Hosmer. I think a lot of people think he would be a nice player to have. I like him because I like what he would bring not just on the field. I think he's a fiery kind of guy. I think he'd be a leader type guy. I think there's some intangible stuff with a guy like Hosmer that doesn't get measured in stats. That's what I believe, okay? Now, that being said, the reaction is that if you don't trade Carp, which I think we've said on here that while a lot of people would like to get rid of him, he can hit and he can get on base and do all that kind of stuff. Unless you get rid of him, what he is going to have to do now is go play somewhere else, which has seemed to have been a problem. Okay? So the reaction portion of signing Hosmer becomes more of an issue. So I guess the question would be, in a chicken and egg thing, would we, and again, you probably haven't even thought about this, but I'm going to throw this at both of you guys. Would you rather sign Moustakas and just keep Carp at first, and would we be better in the long run? So I'm going to start with you, Mose, and throw that scenario at you. Would the Cardinals be better off signing Moustakas to play third and just keep Carpenter at first?
Oh, that's a good one. I wasn't prepared for that one. Maybe. I got a hedge there.
Right.
Carpenter, in his limited time at third base this year, played pretty well, according to the metrics. And I think he could play pretty well at third base on a limited time basis. Like I said, him moving around, I think it might be the best thing for him because he can have a good game here and a good game over here and And before you know it, he's strung a few good defensive games together, but they're not all at the same position. So I trust Hosmer a little more than Moustakas in terms of, one, staying healthy. I mean, Hosmer is an iron man like Votto. The other thing is Moustakas strikes out a lot. And I would lean more towards I'd rather see Hosmer at first, Carpenter at third, than the other way around. But that's okay. I would have to dig into it a little more to be definitive on that.
Okay, so now I'm going to go to the eye test portion of this, and I'm going to bring in the reality. Like, I don't mean that like numbers aren't reality. I'm going to add in the stuff that we know is going on, and I want to get Benji's thoughts on the flip side. So, Benji, we know that the Cardinals have told Carpenter to be prepared to play that role of playing different positions. How much does the return and knowing that Jose Oquendo is going to be around every day, how much does that play into this, A, and B, does it give you the confidence that that Carpenter can do it, and is it directly because of Oquendo? Is Oquendo the miracle worker?
I think so. I really do believe so. When I was there, Carpenter had his best year at second base. And I tell you what, Oquendo drove him hard. I mean, like, really hard, man. I mean, sometimes I even told Oquendo, I said, hey, Jose, you know, just back off from the guy, man, seriously, a little bit. Just let him breathe, you know. And he was always telling me how he needed to be right on him every single pitch. He told him to move here with two strikes. He never did it or things like that. And I said, maybe he feels the pressure. But it's really true. Oquendo is not an easy task. Oquendo is a coach. It's what a coach should be. So, and Carp had his best defense years when Oquendo was there with him. So, with that being said, he's going to help. Going back to Hosmer and Moustakas, the first option is Stanton, of course. I mean, everybody knows that. That's a powerful guy. If you cannot get him, I will go after Hosmer. He will make our team better. I don't care. And also, Carp is not going anywhere. You play third with whatever they want to do with the what is the other kid's name?
Wong?
Third base.
Oh, Jerko?
No, the third. Yeah, Jerko. I'm sorry. So whatever they want to do with him. But Carp, I mean, you can put him at third. Why not? Why not put him at third and let Hosmer play first? Because you put him at second when he wasn't a second baseman. You put him at third when he wasn't a third baseman. You put him at first when he's not a first baseman. So why not go back to third and you know, have Hosmer in your lineup, man? Having Hosmer, you know how much better the team would be? I mean, I know there's other options out there. There's the option of Osuna by a trade or think guys like that, or maybe Prado. But Prado coming in, it's not going to give you Hosmer's number. That's for sure. He and the last couple of years, he's been hurt. So, but guys like that is what we need to see. I think Hosmer's first. Moustakas, like Mo say, he said that it's very, you don't know what you're going to get a year. You know, obviously he got a great year, but that was his free agent year. Like many players, they get excited on their free agent year, and you don't know how that's going to happen this year or so. But Hosmer seems to be, to me, that is a Votto type of guy. Like, he plays every single day, and he gives you chances to win. Remember, that's all we need. And this division, we need to win every game we can. So I think Hosmer, for me, Stanton's priority. If you don't get it, Hosmer, for sure.
Well,
hey, Jim, can I correct? I need to correct myself real quick.
Okay.
Moustakas does not strike out a lot. He just doesn't walk. So I wanted to jump in there and correct that before I got grilled on Twitter about Moustakas striking out a lot.
And you will get grilled on Twitter, just like we all do whenever we say something. You know, to be honest with you, again, I think the Cardinals are going to go a variety of ways. This thing could happen across the board, like in any way, shape, or form, to improve the team. The interesting thing to me about the whole deal will be, if they don't get Stanton, you know, that was a trade that they were prepared to make that was going to involve prospects. So if they don't make this trade, I think they probably have a larger trade in the works as a backup plan. A blockbuster with Tampa Bay would go a long way. And I know you're not prepared for this, so we'll just go right off the cuff. Let's just and just finish out with this. There's rumors about Longoria. Do you like Longoria as a player, Mose?
I do. I question whether over the next few years, if he's really all that much better than Jed Jerko. Offensively, they're similar. And defensively, Jed this year showed he can be stellar at third base. And he's younger. He's cheaper. So I do like Longoria. I just don't know if he really does improve the team all that much.
But let me ask you this question. Let me follow up, because then I'm going to get Benji's thoughts. So I want to get your last thought on this. So if they made the trade, though, say they made the blockbuster with Tampa, and I have no idea how it would go, but they obviously have been linked to Colome. They have been linked to Longoria. And then there's even rumors that maybe they just go the full tilt and give up a whole bunch and get Archer too, which I can't see. I can't see Tampa getting rid of Archer and Colome, but who knows? So my point is, if they do this in the trade format, they still – and they know they need two bats if possible. What if they make that trade and then they go get Hosmer? Because you'd have to believe that if they make this trade with Tampa and they get Longoria and they thought about getting Hosmer, you'd have to believe a guy like Wong would probably be involved in the other trade.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could then put Carpenter at second base every day. I don't know if that's necessarily what you want to do. I think if they don't get Stanton, they need to spend money on someone like Carlos Santana or Eric Hosmer and trade for pitching. I think that offense, if you added a Santana or a Hosmer, in my opinion, the offense is fine. The pitching is where I'm more concerned about. And I think with Tampa, especially, you could grab a hold of some of that pitching, whether it be Colome, Archer, Odorizzi. They have others as well. I think they need to shift, and I think that they probably do have an alternative plan, obviously, if they don't get Stanton. But hey, if they don't, I would spend money on hitting and trade my prospects on pitching.
Interesting. Benji, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, about Longoria, the only thing that – I mean, I like him, of course. You know, he's a star, right? But the only thing I don't want to think about is, you know, his durability, obviously. Hosmer's playing 162 games in the other corner, but then Longoria, it's, you know, obviously being hit with injuries. That's what scares me about him. So I would not go for him. But staying with Tampa, Colome is a great arm. It's a great arm to add for us. And let me tell you, Archer, I'm really big on that trade, dude. I mean, I'm really, really huge. I really, really want that trade to be done, because even though he plays in Tampa and all that, but it doesn't matter, man. He's a good pitcher. He's a really, really good pitcher. So I would love to have him too in our team. I love that trade. I hope they do it. We need a bullpen help. We need a starting pitching help. And obviously one bat at least, not two bats. I mean, if we can get two, great. But at least show us one bat. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I tell you, they can go a variety of ways. But again, I'm glad with today we got to have the conversation about Hosmer, kind of who he is as a player. I enjoyed the back and forth so that we could learn a little bit about the analytics and what goes into it. The defensive thing, again, and this is kind of – and people have kind of gotten on us a little bit sometimes because we act like analytics aren't any good. I don't know that that's the case. I think our stance on it is that there's a lot of people out there that just analytics, and they're the Bible and they're law. And I think like today
That's what I was gonna say, buddy. Like if you tell me analytics, but then you put the eye test and you put the real deal of a baseball player, a baller, and you add up the numbers, yes, I get that. But people are telling me the numbers should play this guy. No, that's not how it goes in baseball. And the numbers is this guy. No, man. Okay, the numbers says one thing, but add up other things that we've been discussing on the show. Add them up to it, and I'll be down with it. You know, I'll be down with it. But don't tell me because that number is this, I should play that guy. No. It's not like that, buddy.
Well, and again, I think that the key here is that, and this is why I love the fact, and I thought Mose was the best guy to do this segment with us. I think what we learned today is like, and this is where I've always gone with it, we've kind of proved today that while you can use the defensive metric as something to kind of gauge a little bit, there is human element that goes into this as well. And like I said, I've watched, I can't tell you how many plays I've watched that aren't given an error, aren't given this, that I'm like, what do you mean? I don't, you know, or you see a play where they do, and I'm like, do they have any idea what was going on that particular play? And again, I'm not doing the whole dogging thing, well, you never played, you don't get it. It's not that as much as it is that things are not always black and white, and numbers would have you believe sometimes they're black and white. So I love the whole segment. I like the back and forth. I like today I think was much better, and I look forward to doing this going forward because what I'm real interested sometimes is to know, A, guys we're interested in, how do they rate? I'd like to know how our own players are doing versus how we think they're doing. Again, the eye test is what it is. I can tell you last year, I wish I could go back and think of all the line drives Matt Carpenter hit for outs last year. You know, it's like if you play baseball at all, you know, number one, that hitting a baseball is one of the hardest things in the world to do, but yet fans think it's really easy for some reason. They get in this groove where they're like, really, you struck out there in that situation? It's like you get up there and wonder if you're getting 97 belt high or if you're getting the slider down and in or if you're getting above the hand. You get in there and do it's really hard to do, right? So I've always wondered why we just assume hitting is easy because it's really not. So in the end, that's what I love about this is that we can kind of look at it objectively now and say, okay, here's what might be right about this, but in the end, here's also the reason why it's tough to use it as an end-all be-all.
Can I say something real quick?
Absolutely.
For the fans and for all you out there, I went through it. You know, at the half, I had 60 line drive for outs my last year. 60. Think about it. 60. I was doing good until I got a foul tip to my elbow and I couldn't swing anymore. But to the half of the year, to the All-Star break, I had 60 balls that I wrote down in a piece of paper, which I still have, 60 hard ball hits that I did. And I hit 240 when they traded me or something like that. So do you think about all those 60 line drives, if they would have fall out, 10 of them or maybe 20 of them would have fall out for a hit. But nobody sees that, though. They see the number. They see the 240. They see the guy's not hitting. He sucks. He's not hitting well. He's slowing down. He's old. But they don't see the 60 line drive that you hit for outs. Those are plays. And I want to go back to what you said about Carp. You know how many times he hit hard and you know how many times he helped us get a run and RBI and all that. Yes, and he did. He did. But how many times did he mess up in the bases?
Sure.
How many times he cost us a run? How many times he cost us a run, not only by air, because the physical air, it's really happening. That happens. I mean, I get that. But the mental mistakes, how many times did he have? Is there any stats or number for mental mistakes? I haven't seen it yet. And those are the things that if you're going to bring the numbers, bring the other numbers around too. It's like a catcher. Like if you say, oh, he has 13 errors. Well, goddamn, man, how many block balls did he do to save runs? Do you have that stats? You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to bring the errors, bring how many times he saved a run from the Cardinals. That's all I'm trying to say. Don't just go with one wave of stats, and that's it. That's what we're going to dictate, these guys is good or bad. No. Go around the whole horns. Go around the whole circle. And say, okay, he's great. He was awesome hitting, but, you know, he messed us up in mental errors, mental mistakes, base running mistakes. He hurt us. He can catch a pop-up. All different stuff of the game. That's what we need to find out.
Mo, your final thoughts before you leave us today?
Yeah, I really enjoyed talking about the Hosmer-Carpenter thing. I've come around somewhat on Hosmer. I would just like to say the caveat to that is, and we didn't really get into it too deeply today, maybe we'll have another chance some other time, is I would rather have Carlos Santana than either one of them at first base. But outside of that, hopefully something gets done here in the next few weeks so we can see what direction they're headed in.
Well, I know we appreciate you doing this.
Choice, man.
What's that?
Carlos Santana is a great choice, too, by the way.
Yeah, I've seen him mentioned a little bit more lately. It's going to be really interesting to see where we go with this, but I do want to thank Mose for joining us. Sir, you have yourself a really good Thanksgiving, and I appreciate you being a part of this show. And just share your Twitter handle and your Facebook page before you go with our listeners.
All right, yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you guys, too. I appreciate being on the show. You can follow me at Mose Algorithm. That's M-O-Z Algorithm. Same thing on Facebook, at Mose Algorithm, M-O-Z Algorithm.
Well, hey, thank you, man. We appreciate you being a part of the show, and have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next Thursday.
You too, guys. See you then.
That's Mose Algorithm as he joins us each Thursday for Bow Ties and Sweaters with Mose Algorithm, where analytics meet the eye. Good stuff. Benji, I'll tell you, like I said, I thought he would be a great guy for this because he's willing to say, hey, look, there is some human stuff in this. And you know what? In the end, I think we're going to find a happy medium. And I'll be real curious when the season's going to learn like how the numbers are translating into what we're really seeing on the field. So I'm excited about the segment. I hope he's enjoying it and we continue it into the season. Let's move on now. We've got we had some great questions for our ex-pro here, Benji Molina. Let's get to some of those, and I want to remind everybody that our Twitter questions are brought to you each week by Innovated Electric, our great partners on the show. You're going to want to check out innovatedcompanies.com. It's where you can see all the different companies that they've innovated together to bring you one-stop shop for all of your needs. With Innovated Electric, they handle new construction, panel changes, full-service upgrades. They'll replace fixtures and devices, interior, exterior lighting, energy management systems. If you have any inspection violations that are very serious when it comes to electric, give these guys a call. Check them out at innovatedcompanies.com. Fully licensed, bonded, and insured. They've got 35-plus years of experience, and he is a second-generation craftsman, guys. Give Innovated Companies an opportunity for your job. All right, let's check out some of these questions, Benji. Number one from Joshua J. 11029. If the Cardinals were to acquire Stanton, do you think Logan Morrison would be a good second bat to add?
I know Mo had Morrison had a great year, buddy. I know that. I understand. But I'm not a big fan of a guy that strikes out a lot and swings for the fences. If he had a 300 average and then he hit the year he had, yeah, he's a great thing. Remember, you're protecting Stanton. You want people to say, damn, man, I got a pitch to stand. You don't want people to say, okay, Morrison, Lomo, you know, we can strike him out. He's an opportunity for us to get out of the inning. You don't want that. So I mean, if he's in the lineup, yeah, I mean, I'll take it because he'll have good games and stuff. But I just don't see – I just don't think in my heart that he will be that guy that people will say, you know what, when the National comes to town, they'll be walking Stanton because they know Mo, it's an option to strike him out or something like that. But if he hit 300, yeah, I mean, I will take him.
All right, next question. And I know you're familiar with some of the guys being in Arizona. I know you pay attention to the Arizona Fall League, and maybe you've got some help for Austin Sternlicht. Which prospect should be untouchable? And do you have any thoughts on Delvin Perez as a possible cornerstone of the future?
For me, the untouchables are very few because obviously you're building a team to get parades. You're not building a team to get prospects out there. We already saw that. What happens when you get prospect out there and you don't know what they're going to do or potential or whatever. You go do these things for parades. So with that being said, untouchables, I would say more likely Reyes, more likely Alcantara, because I want to see that guy pitching one year with 35 starts, man. I want to see what he can do for me for 35 starts. Maybe Kelly, untouchable for now because Yadi only has 3 more years. Maybe you want to save that guy for after Yadi. Let me see, Hudson maybe because of obviously everybody wants pitching, starting pitching. Bader is not untouchable. Of course, we got so many outfielders. Those guys are not untouchable. So for me, those are the only ones.
Any thoughts on Delvin Perez? He's awful young.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, I said it last time, I think, at the other show. He's not the franchise guy, at least not right now. The people, please, let him play. Let him show us that he's a good player. Let him play for 4 years and get mature and get better as a player and show us that he's a great, great player. But I don't think he's a franchise guy right now. I don't think you should be worried about him right now. He's not going to make any impact anytime soon. He just went to low A ball, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and didn't do so well. So he's not there. I mean, he has the skills. He has what our favorite word is, the potential to become a great player. Yes, he does, and I hope he does. But right now, this moment, no, he's not that player.
That's a great question. Thank you, Austin. From William Masterson, and I know this goes down sometimes. He's at Swilly 53, so I want to ask you this, because I would be willing to bet at some juncture you may have got asked to make a phone call or get a hold of a guy. But, you know, I think you hear stories like this. So this Cardinal fan asks, why don't the Cardinals just send a delegation of players to Stanton's home to invite him to join the team, guys like Waino, Yachty, et cetera?
wouldn't that be nice? The only time that happens, buddy, is if you're a friend of Stanton. That's the only time that would happen. Let's say like Waino is a great fan, or he lives close to him. He's a good friend. They went to the high school together. Like right now, we have an example. Arrieta is a free agent, and Carp was his roommate in college.
Right.
You know, teammate or roommate. So that would be a good advantage for the Cardinals to say, hey, man, you know, can you call Arrieta and tell him, hey, we need him here and things like that. Yeah, it happens. But no, not necessarily, you know, not every time.
So even though a guy like Stanton may have a lot of respect for a guy like Yachty or Waino or even Fowler, you know, it would just be nothing more than him knowing that they're just trying to woo him to the city.
Yeah, no, but you can do it. Don't get me wrong. The Angels got me. I told you the story. The Angels called me and said, hey, man, we need you to talk to Bartolo Colon to come here to the Angels. We want you to tell him how good the city is. And I did call him. And I did call him. I said, hey, Bartolo, come to Anaheim. It's great. And the city's this, the city's that. It's awesome. And he did sign. Then we got Vladimir Guerrero, and they call me, the Angels call me and say, hey, man, can you talk to Vladdy and get him in here? Hey, Orlando Cabrera, can you talk to him and get him out here? We'd love to have him. So I called all those three guys, but when it came time for me to become a free agent, nobody called for me. They just let me go. Yeah.
Oh boy. Hey, that's why. Hey, people wonder why you always say it's a business. Isn't that great?
The business.
Yeah, that's good. Drizzy Drutzer, who's became a big fan of the show, and I know he's been supporting us with sharing and doing all that kind of stuff, and we appreciate it greatly. This is an interesting one, and I wanted to talk to you about this today. You know what? I'm going to save that one for last because I want to ask your thoughts on that. Let's go over to William Bernard, who, again, I think I mentioned earlier at Wilski Walker B. I'm using his phrase that he sent me, Flags Fly Forever. He's got an interesting one, so you're going to have to put your thinking cap on. You ready? This is another – he's a numbers guy, okay? He's a numbers guy and reminds me all the time, and I'm happy to hear from him. But he said, hey, Benji, I hope you're doing well. My question is, Benji, if you were the GM, how would you build a lineup and a pitching staff? Obviously, you want the best players at every position, but if given the choice, would you build your rotation and lineup to be super consistent and deep? So basically good but not star players up and down the lineup and rotation. Or would you build your staff and lineup with 4 or 5 star type players and average to below average production around them? Kind of like what we think the 2018 Cardinals want to be.
Well, I would tell you, if you have a chance to have your stars, I would tell you this one. You have to have 2 starting stars. Not necessarily stars, but like good anchors, you know, like the number one and number two. Like, you know, you got Kershaw, but you also have that guy, the lefty.
Alex Wood.
I forgot his name.
Alex Wood?
Yeah, the other kid.
Yep.
The other kid that that pitched second after, I forgot his name. But anyways, and then you got Arch Scherzer, but you also have Gio Gonzalez.
Strasburg.
You know, I would start
by
that.
Yeah. So 1-1A. 1-1A in the rotation is a good way to look at it.
Yeah, it's a good way to start your team. Another way is what we went through last year, the eighth inning and the ninth inning guy. You got to find those two guys. That's another thing that I would go for and go out there and look. It doesn't have to be a star. It has to be a guy to get the three outs, right? So, and then I will go to the lineup, and I will get my third, fourth, and fifth hitters like we discussed in the last show. Those are my key guys. If I have those three guys, I don't have to worry about anything else, but my leadoff guy, my leadoff guy, obviously the guy that goes and gets on base and stuff like Fowler, you know, some guy like that, and I will go there because I already have my 3, 4, 5. My 6, 7, and 8, obviously, is guys that you obviously counting on. That's just how it is. But it doesn't have to be a star. And my team for that, I forgot the name that you said that asked the question. But the guy for the guy who asked the question, I'm always a believer that you have to be a better hitter than a 250. If you're a 250 hitter, I don't know, man. I don't know if I could have you because I need to have guys that hit more than 260, 270, 280 because that means you're going to help me. You're going to help me a lot in the lineup. So I would start by looking at guys that can hit 280. They're always on base. They're good runners and things like that. You know, that's without going to the defense. So that's what I will do.
Good stuff, good stuff. And again, we appreciate him. And then so now I want to come back to that question because this is interesting. So everybody's following what's going on with the Braves. They've got hammered pretty good, which tells me they did some really bad things. They really circumvented the system, and that's a no-no. Rules are in place for a reason, and even though you find a way around those rules, baseball, like the NFL, is its own deal, and if they can find out that you're circumventing them rules, you're going to pay a deep price, no different than what happened to the Cardinals. Now, here's what I think's interesting. There's one main player in this whole Braves thing that's got everybody salivating, and that is the young prospect, Kevin Maitan. I believe he's Venezuelan. Is that right, Benji? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but I don't know if he's Dominican. I thought he was Dominican guy.
I thought he was Venezuelan. I could be completely wrong. I'm going to Google it right now while we're talking.
Yeah, me too.
But the thing too. Is, if people, the Cardinal Nation's familiar with him because he was one of those guys. Okay, he was that guy, like international signing guy. Everybody wanted. Yeah, he's from Venezuela, so everybody knew about him. He was a top guy. He immediately came in as a top 100 prospect in baseball. By all accounts, he's going to be a dude, right? Like 6'2", 190 pounds. You know, he's only 17 years old. You know, they're talking about him like he's the next Correa and all this kind of stuff, right? So the Cardinals are linked to him, and it sounds like the Cardinals are going to sign him, right? Like, and you never know for sure because there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on with these international signing guys, right? So the Cardinals are linked to him, and then all of a sudden the Braves come in and he's gone. He's signed. And you're like, whoa, what's going on? And then you start hearing rumors that there was gentlemen's agreements, the Cardinals are out, there was a gentleman's agreement that he has to honor, blah, blah, blah. And you're like going, wait a minute, right? But whatever, it is what it is. Like, it's so shady sounding anyway that you kind of just dismiss it, and you're like, well, we missed out on him, okay? Well, now all of a sudden we find out there was a lot of shady stuff going on, so much so that I think it's around like 13 guys that are prospects that the Braves signed are now free agents. So they're figuring out how to control this, so they're doing all that. The rumor is the Cardinals would love to get this guy back now because they felt like they were going to have him. My conspiracy theory is the Cardinals got their hand whacked over the Houston thing, and they went to the commissioner and said, okay, well, if you're going to whack us, something went down here because we had an agreement with this guy, and all of a sudden there's some backdoor agreement, and we're out. Something doesn't sound right here to me, and I would love – now, again, he's a prospect. You don't know. But in a day and age where the Cardinals obviously got a little hammered over the Houston thing, you know, they already used all their bonus pool money, so they're not going to be players this year. That would be a nice get from them if the Cardinals could go sign him, especially if he plays short and they don't feel like Delvin Perez is going to be what they thought he was.
Oh, my goodness. That would be so great. The thing is here that we need to understand as fans, when you do something wrong, you got to pay for it. It doesn't matter where you're at, right?
Right.
Doesn't matter where you come from, like the spy thing for St. Louis. And if it happens, I don't have any problem with them suspending whoever because it happened. You're not supposed to do that. So same way for these kids, man. There's 13 kids, man. 13 international prospects that you can add to a team. Just think about how many teams are going to go after these guys, man, right now. And he doesn't have to be the number one guy, the other guys. I mean, there's going to be going all out. But if we can get a hand on this type of guy, I saw how he played. And if we can get a hand on that guy, man, holy moly, watch out, you know, because this is a good player. And now that the Braves run, you know, they lost him and stuff, we can get him, it'll be awesome.
Well, it's an interesting thing. So we'll see what happens. That one's one to keep an eye on, but I got my little conspiracy theory there. So good stuff. Appreciate the question, guys. Thank you so much. As again, we love the Ask Benji segment. And it gives you an opportunity to ask the ex-big leaguer your thoughts, especially on anything baseball, really, but especially our St. Louis Cardinals. Let's go now to our Twitter poll, which is brought to you by the other arm of the Innovated Companies, Innovated Heating and Cooling. I want to remind everybody that the Innovated Heating and Cooling can assist you with new construction. They do full replacement HVAC systems, residential, commercial. They do refrigeration, walk-ins, ductwork. They'll do the preventative maintenance for you as well. They do the sheet metal fabrication. If you have some inspection violations, they are your company. That's innovatedcompanies.com. Our friends Randy and Stephanie Green, fully licensed, bonded, and insured, 35-plus years of experience, second-generation craftsmanship. The question that we asked you this week was, or this show was, where will Stanton play in 2018? So, Benji, I'm going to put you on the spot. I gave four choices: St. Louis, San Francisco, Miami, or other. So I'm going to ask you first, where will Stanton be in 2018?
I want him to be in St. Louis.
I didn't ask you where you want him. I asked you where he was going to be.
I'm going to answer that. I want him to be in St. Louis, but I really believe he's going to end up in San Francisco.
Well, and that's why I asked you, because I knew, I had a feeling. So, yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you. I voted on my own poll last night, and, you know, I got to be honest with you. I could not vote for St. Louis. I had to, even though there's a part of me that doesn't believe we're going to get him, and I want to expand on that. Here's what I want to say to people. I have been all in on Stanton from the get-go, as they say, right? Like, I am knee-deep in it. I have said the Cardinals need to be in on it. I have said all these things, publicly, privately, whatever you want to say. I want to say this, though. I hope people understand how hard it was going to be from the beginning for the Cardinals to get him. And I'm not even talking about him deciding if he wants to play here or not. Making a trade of this size with the prospects involved, the money that's involved, the fact that there are other teams at play, and I've said since day one, it only takes one team. And I think we're kind of seeing that a little bit, right? Like, I have no doubt in my mind, okay, that the Miami Marlins have went to the Giants and said, look, here's the deal. He prefers to come there. All you got to do is make sure that this is a good, good deal for us. So I think that's how this thing has went. You just look at the offer that we heard. While the prospects are not what the Cardinals can give, in my opinion, if they're willing to take Stanton and D. Gordon and the majority of that money, that gets the Marlins home. They have now gotten rid of D. Gordon. They have gotten rid of Stanton. That means they can keep Yelich. They can keep all this stuff. Maybe they can move Prado for some young talent. They can now start over, and they are home where they need to be. Okay? Fans are going to need to understand that I said from the get-go, when you're allowing other teams to get involved in this, and that's why I wanted the Cardinals to put the claim on him in August. And again, I never said that by putting the claim in, that Miami was just going to give them to him. But they may have. I mean, we don't know the answer to that, right? Like, do they really just want to get rid of the money and would have said he's all yours? Or...
Well, he still have to say yes, right?
Yeah, you know what? I got to be honest with you. I would assume so. I would assume he would, or if they put somebody on... I don't know. That's an interesting question. You know what? I'm going to send a text to Derek Gould and answer that question on Twitter later for everybody. Where I'm going with this, though, is this. Even then, if the Cardinals would have put the claim in, they would have been the only team that for 24 hours could have negotiated with Miami Marlins, and they could have said, look, here's the deal. here's what we're willing to do, here's what you're willing to do, take it to him, boom, boom. You could have at least had an idea where you sat. But in the end, the bottom line is this. The Cardinals weren't comfortable with them possibly saying, he's all yours. So that tells me from the beginning that the Cardinals weren't that comfortable with taking on $300 million, which has always been a problem for me with anybody because I feel they have the money. Now, they have a business to run. I get it. There's other people involved now, and that has upped the ante. If San Francisco has come to the table or if the Dodgers come to the table and say, hey, look, we're going to take all this money and we're going to do this, I just don't know. And he wants to go to the coast, which I don't think you can fault the guy, even though we're going to get butt hurt because we feel like everybody should want to come to St. Louis, which is silly because who the hell wouldn't want to play in L.A. or San Francisco? And people can say, well, you know, he's only there for so long. Let me tell you something, folks. Right now, the guy has publicly said he doesn't want to leave Miami, but he also doesn't want to go through a rebuild. And the fact that you don't understand that this guy every night goes home to his own penthouse that overlooks the ocean is crazy because that's what he does. Okay, and he's going to get to do the same thing in L.A. and San Francisco. And while you can say, well, during the season, they do go home every night, and they do have off days, right, and they do have lives away from the baseball field. And if that's what you want, you can't fault the guy. Don't make this about Mozeliak. Don't make this about Matheny. It doesn't have anything to do with it. The bottom line is the guy has said since day one he may prefer to be on the coast, and that's possibly the deal.
But don't, it's not Mo or Mike or anybody. It's just him that he has the cloth that he could say yes, he could say no. He picks the team that he wants to go. Another thing that you got to see, the Dodgers have the players to get him too.
If they want to trade some of those guys, they could, sure. Now, again, it all comes down to this, and I'm going to reiterate what I've said since day one. Do I believe in my heart that he would prefer to play in San Francisco or L.A., or has he said it publicly? I have no idea. I believe that because I think it's very realistic, right? And I think there's always fire where there's smoke, right? All I have said is that if the Cardinals made this really difficult for the other teams and they went to him and said, look, our deal's with the Cardinals. Will you accept to go there? And if not, these other teams are trying to rape us. We're not going to trade you there if they're going to rape us, right? And if he's got to decide...
Yeah, but they won't say that, though, right?
Well, but hang on.
They will not tell him, though.
Oh, I believe... Listen, I think they would. If the deals from San Francisco and L.A. were deals where they were getting nothing, I think they would absolutely say, look, we can't make a deal with them. So our deal's with the Cardinals. You either take that deal, or you stay here and we're going to trade these guys. Because here's the thing, Benji. It only makes sense that they would do that, because I don't think they're going to just give him away. Now, that being said, I think what San Francisco has already shown is we don't expect you to give him away. We're going to give you some players. Tyler Beattie's an okay pitching prospect. He's not on the level of what the Cardinals have, but he's a good pitching prospect. Shaw's a big power-hitting prospect. I get that. So if they do that and they take all the money, that's different. I never said that. What I said was is that if San Francisco or L.A. come to the table and say, look, we'll take all this money, but we're not going to give you any prospects worth anything, that's different. But see, that's what's happened now, is that other teams are involved. They've upped the ante. So unless the Cardinals are willing to blow them out of the water with a deal where they have to go to them and say, look, it's either stay here or take the Cardinals' offer, and if you stay here, we're going to rebuild, well, then he's got to make a decision. So at the end of the day...
Yeah, but if he's happy in Miami, he ain't going nowhere.
Well, that's what
he
said.
Doesn't care.
Well,
he might not want to play in the rebuild. Yeah, I get that. But he's still happy in Miami. That's where he lives. That's where he's comfortable.
And I would agree with you.
Another thing that you were saying, Jimbo, you were saying that to tell him whatever happens with the prospects and things like that, it's okay. I get that, but I don't think they will tell him that. I don't think they will say, "Hey, listen, we have this deal here, and that's it." You know, and if you have a bad one, you just don't say it. You just say no to the Giants and say, nah, you know what, that's not our deal, so whatever, no, let's move on to the next guys. But you don't tell the guy, hey, Stanton, we got this horrible deal, this is the only deal we have, you better take it, or, you know, or you're going to be rebuilding. I don't think they go out that far and tell the guy, you know, because you'll have him all pissed off. I think you'll wait for the option, you know, obviously you wait for the trade to be happening, and then you go up to him and say, hey, this is what we have right here. Do you accept it or do you don't accept it? And then he'll say yes or no.
Well, again, like I said, I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of if I was him, I would say, well, what about L.A. and San Francisco? And if they say, look, we don't have anything acceptable from them, I mean, it's that simple. I mean, that's where I'm going with it.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. So, again, so I look at it and I say, and again, I'm with you. Like, if he loves Miami, and he says he loves Miami, but again, to be honest with you, Benji, the only thing that we know that he himself has said is that he doesn't want to be there if they're going to rebuild. Again, so that's all I have to go on, is what he himself has said. And he said that. That's not rumor. He said it in an interview himself. So that's all I have to go on. So if he's...
You know, Jimbo, another thing that probably pissed him off, you know, another thing that pissed him off was that they started getting rid of people, and they came in, the new ownership came in.
Sure.
They started getting rid of coaches. Tony Perez, man, Tony Perez has been there for 20 years. They got rid of him. Andre Dawson, guys like that. I mean, you don't come in and just do that, man. I mean, maybe a couple, but not a name guys, not guys that have been there 20 plus years with your organization. You don't come in and just say, hey, listen, you go. We need to start fresh. That pissed a lot. I mean, if I were a player there, I would be so pissed at the organization. I would be so pissed at whoever the new owner is, because they never consider talking to us about it. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
You don't know if it's pissed off. You don't know if it's pissed off about it, about the guys that they let go. He'd probably be like, hell with you guys, man. I want out. He might want out. You know, we don't know.
I look into things and I try to read between the lines. And I think you can look at when he became the MVP the other day. I think a couple of his comments were directed right at the Marlins. I mean, he basically told them, all we need is a couple pitchers, guys. You're going to break this thing up, and all we need is a couple pitchers. So I think he was taking a shot at him.
Yeah, and if the Marlins, after hearing that, they go out and don't get the pitching, that's telling him that they don't want anything, you know? They're rebuilding, they don't care what you say.
Well, and again,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And in this whole thing, with all the rumor, all the speculation, all the conspiracy theories, I'm only going to go on what we know. And all I know is for sure he has said, I don't want to go to a rebuilder, and I don't want to be in Miami if they're going to rebuild. And all I know is that the Miami Marlins have publicly stated, we're getting this thing down to $90 million. Well, you can do the math. It doesn't take a rocket science. Listen, I am 48 years old, and I am dead set on never using any algebra. And I can tell you right now, I can use simple second grade math and do the subtraction, and I can tell you how they're going to get down to $90 million. It's pretty simple.
But they got to have suitors too.
Well, they got suitors. That's not a problem. They got suitors.
I'm saying they're real suitors. The guys that they're saying, I don't want the Giants prospect. Oh, I don't think the St. Louis prospects are good. I don't think these guys are good. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
they need to have guys like that, and to do it, unless you just want to unpack him and send him away for nothing, and then you look horrible. You even look worse.
Well, and again, that's not an issue, though. I mean, we know for a fact that's not an issue. The Cardinals have offered. I mean, we know for a fact that Alcantara is involved in the deal. That's the one rumor. That's the one name that's been leaked or whatever. I mean, this is not going to be an issue for them. If they want to get rid of him, the only thing we don't know is who's got the best offer, who's taking the most money. And again, I've said it since day one. If the Giants are willing to take Stanton and D. Gordon and eat most of the money, well, this thing's over then, because that's going to get them right where they need to be. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, I've always said the Cardinals could make it uncomfortable because they could take the money and they could offer the prospects. I think the other teams can do one or the other. So we'll see what happens.
It's just a matter of Stanton. It's a matter of him saying yes. Remember, don't forget that for all the fans
sure.
out there. Yeah, we can offer them our whole system in the minor leagues, and Stanton has to still say yes.
Well, interestingly enough, this shocks me, Benji. I think you're going to be shocked too, because you know this tells you that we focus on the negative all the time, and that's terrible that we do that. It seems like the silent majority always gets the worm. I was shocked by this. I would have bet my life that either San Francisco or other would have won this contest, but St. Louis won our Twitter poll. Fans really believe he's coming here.
We have our most fans, though.
Well, and that's the thing, you know. I really feel like there's a lot of people banging the drum. There's no way the Cardinals are going to get him. They were never in on him. This is all window dressing. They're doing it for show. I was really surprised that St. Louis won this, and they won it by quite a bit.
Because we won him.
Yeah.
Because we won him.
Yeah, for sure. So, Hey, great stuff, man. I love doing the show today. I thought things went better. I hope our fans were happy with the way things went with Mo's algorithm. I thought it went a lot better.
Jimbo, I want to say something real quick.
Yep.
It's not going to take long.
Yep.
I just want people and fans out there to know that I'm not dogging. We're not dogging on Carpenter. We're not dogging on any player out there for the Cardinals. We just giving examples and give us ideas and for how they play and stuff. I hope they know that it's just examples of play and they come up, but it's not dogging our guys, you know. It's not throwing under the bus anybody. You know, I like Carp and I like all those guys. It's just when we talk about comparison, you know, it's obviously examples, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I agree. And I like the fact that you bring that up too, because, you know, I've went through all stages in my life of being a Cardinal fan where I don't like this guy and I hate this guy. And I've been so mad at Mike Matheny that I've thrown things, and I've been so mad at the Cardinal front office that I've said I'm never going to go to another game. And I've been mad at players and I was this and that. And, you know, I was boycotting the Cardinals after Pujols left because I was mad at him and the Cardinals. So I've gone through all the different stages too, like every Cardinal fan. I think for us personally on this show now, okay, I think we're trying to be objective while also trying to be respectful and realistic, and that's the best way I can describe what we're trying to do. And again, I hope people can appreciate that and understand that. I mean, again, I'm not saying any of the players are listening to us, but if anybody ever got wind of something that we said, I would hope they would understand that we're just trying to be realistic and provide information to the fans and listeners that are curious what people think. And let's face it, while I'm a fan, just like everybody else who listens to this show, Benji, you've been there, you've done that, you've played, you bring a completely different perspective into this thing, and fans want to hear it because at the end of the day, they trust you to give them an honest thought and honest opinion from a player's perspective. And, again, that's what separates us a little bit from some of the other shows, and we appreciate you being a part of it. Same thing with Mo's algorithm now. He brings another view that a guy like me and Steve, there's no way we can bring. So we're trying to just provide the listener with all views from all different sides. So, Benji, I want to thank you and tell you that I'm thankful that you do this and are a part of it and are willing to spend your time giving the opinions of a former big leaguer to a bunch of fans like me.
Oh, no, thank you. And I enjoy talking about baseball and our Cards. And I really want our Cards to do well, to do good. I want the organization to do their best to help out for the fans, because I know the fans deserve it. You know, they're very smart fans. So that's what I'm doing it for. I hope nobody takes it personal out there. It's just the samples that we put out there for everybody.
Hey, last thing, I do want to say something that you said about him possibly being upset with Miami. Oddly enough, Miami finished last in the poll. Other finished ahead of Miami. So I think most fans think he's good as gone. So interesting. Hey, thanks again to the Innovated Companies for all their participation in our shows. Of course, you've got Innovated Construction, Innovated Heating and Cooling, and Innovated Electric. That all have a piece of different things on this show. Check them out, innovativecompanies.com. We want to remind you one last time to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. It's our website. You can do your Amazon shopping for Christmas on there and help the show out a little bit. Find us on our social media sites. Hit us up on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. Please find us on Facebook. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Invite your friends to like it as well. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. You know, Benji Molina, always a part of our social media experiences. We're happy to have all you guys. Don't forget our partners on Facebook. As we mentioned, Chris Lawless with Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7. Our friend and yours, Nate McHenry with RallySquirrel.com. We're so proud to be a part of the Rally Squirrel Club. Remember to check that out again, RallySquirrel.com, for less than the price of a cup of coffee. You too can be a part of that premium podcast experience and receive all the great opportunities at prizes from our friends at Fan Cave Sports. Arch City Sports, of course, with Mick Light, Cardinal Freak, St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite, all the great Facebook pages, all the great social media sites that support Two Birds on a Bat. For Benji Molina, for Steve Flowers, and all the people here at lineupmedia.fm, I want to tell everybody to have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. My challenge to you is when we put this show out, I'm going to put it on there, I want you to comment in the comments below on Facebook. What are you thankful for when it comes to Cardinal baseball? For everybody here, let's go Cards!
Go Cards!
Yeah.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.